Dave Hollis has had the most challenging year of his life. But now, on the other side of it, he is stronger than ever. And I'm so excited to have him on the Live Inspired season of Bouncing Forward, because the situation he found himself in is so relatable to so many. Divorce. And having one of the hardest years of his life, all during the peak of COVID. But first, let me introduce Dave. He is a growth and fulfillment coach. He's a New York Times bestselling author. He's a motivational speaker. He's a dad of four amazing kids. And he has a top podcast called Rise Together. Dave feels like a really good friend to me, even though we have never actually met in person. We've stayed in touch over the years. We've always been supportive of each other. And we actually first met when he was writing his first book, Get Out of Your Own Way. He asked if he could use one of my quotes and share my story in his book. And I was so honored just to be a part of it and just to be a part of his first book and the launch of that book. It was so incredible. And that book ended up being so good that I decided I wanted to endorse his next book, which is called Built Through Courage, and it's out now. Dave walks the talk. He has had to have a lot of courage this year. We talk about his very public divorce during the peak of COVID, and not only how he got through it, but how he stayed inspired along the way. He even wrote his book during this time. I really have no idea how he did that. We talk about how our biggest struggles make up our purpose and how they make us into the people that we are supposed to be. Dave also shares how he's making the next chapter in his life the best chapter of his life. And we start the conversation with him sharing the sweetest story of his little girl, Noah. She's 4 years old, and how she responded when he told her that I had two prosthetic legs. At the age of 19, I lost both of my legs below the knees, which changed my life forever. It made me dig deep and build my resilience. And through that, I've been able to accomplish some amazing things. I'm a three-time Paralympic medalist, New York Times bestselling author, Dancing with the Stars runner-up, and a world-renowned motivational speaker. I created this podcast to cheer you on and to remind you that every challenge must be met with one question. How can you not just survive life's challenges, but thrive through them? I'm Amy Purdy, and this is Bouncing Forward.
I just had an awesome experience, and this is gonna be like sounds so random, but I was walking from my bedroom to this office where I'm recording this, and my four-year-old was asking, what am I doing? Dave, Dad, I mean, she actually said Dave, which is bizarre for my four-year-old to ask, hey Dave, what are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm gonna go talk to my friend Amy. And she said, what are you gonna talk about? And I said, well, I'm gonna talk about my book, but also Amy is one of the coolest people I've ever met because Amy has created awesomeness in her life, even though she's had a lot of adversity. And she said, what is adversity? I said, oh, well, Amy has legs that are different from you and me. And she said, what do you mean? And so I pulled up your Instagram and I showed her the pictures of both the running version of your legs and the normal version of your legs. And she was like overwhelmed with this, like, and it was just like the most pure and beautiful version of what a four-year-old might be able to elicit. She was like, she can have legs that are like anything she wants. And I was like, yes, she can.
Oh my gosh. I love that. First of all, I love your daughter. She's so adorable.
Thank you. I love
everything you share with her. And that's what I love about kids too. They're just so pure. And they always, they'll have questions like, can you make your legs super tall? Can you jump over a building? Like it's, I love the imagination that kids have.
What's beautiful too is like for a four-year-old, the idea that there is a way that things are supposed to be hasn't necessarily been reinforced yet. And so for her to be introduced to you as this person who has legs that are different than my legs or her legs doesn't necessarily strike her as being weird. It's like, how rad. Like she thought it was just the coolest thing in the entire world that you had an ability to change your legs. And I was like, oh, I just love the fact that my four-year-old doesn't judge the difference, but instead sees the beauty in what ends up being something that is different and totally adjustable depending on what it is that you're trying to achieve in that single day.
Right. I mean, that's how I've always seen it too. Like, you know, that she saw my legs not as a limitation, but as the possibilities.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Whoa, what can you do with those? So thank you so much for sharing that story. I love that. That just made my heart full.
Of course.
I first want to say to you, you are so amazing. I am so honored to be speaking with you today. You have a book out, Built Through Courage, which we'll talk about here in a minute. But you have had to have a lot of courage over the last year. You've had a very challenging year. You've had a very public divorce. You're now a single dad to four kids. Plus, you have so much going on. I don't know how you do it all. So do you mind sharing your journey this year and some of the hardest things that you had to face?
Yeah. What's interesting is at the end of 2019, I made this very bold declaration at a company Christmas party that 2020 was going to be my best year ever. So if I remember
you posted that.
If in any way I am complicit in having brought about the things that we all collectively had to go through in 2020, I do apologize. But the thing that I appreciate more maybe than anything is that I made this declaration not appreciating that the conditions through which my best year would materialize were outside of my control, right? I had a 2020, like I think most of us probably had in 2020, a year that was harder than any year I've ever experienced in my entire life. But also, at the end of my life, when I am looking back at which of the years were most formative or important in defining who I've become, 2020 is going to be at the top or near the top of the list, not in spite of, but because of the way that working through the hardest things I've ever had to work through made me into this person that I've become. And so in a way that like, man, I don't want to relive 2020. I don't want to go through divorce again. I don't want to have to experience the grief or sadness or struggle that was this year. I also today can sit with just a ton of gratitude for how this hardest year of my entire life was so complicit in how I became who I am, because I'm unrecognizable to who I was before all of the hard things ended up showing up. And I believe with every ounce of my being that I am this different person in so many ways because of having to experience and process the hardness that was the year of 2020.
It's like, here you said, this is going to be the best year of my life, yet it ended up being the hardest year of your life, which ultimately you had to go through so that you could potentially be the best version of yourself. That's, you know, that's how I feel about my situation as well. You know, when I was young, I wanted to live a life full of stories and adventure and, you know, wanted to give back to people. And it wasn't until I lost my legs that I found my way and that it led me exactly to where I always wanted to be, but I had to take this crazy detour to get here. So I just love that really, that is the experience of life. Do you think that we need struggle to be able to become the best versions of ourselves?
I mean, I hate that I'm going to answer this the way I am because I don't want to invite more hard things to come into my life. But I also, I'm a person who grew up inside of the church. I am someone of faith, and I prayed so much that I might become the version of who I actually am today in so many ways. And what I can see now that I couldn't see then was this like laughing version of God, like, oh, I gave you what you asked for. Like I
exactly.
actually helped you become the things that you wanted and needed so badly in your life. You just thought that you were in control of or had design over how they would manifest. And in fact, the only way that they would become possible was by you having to go through these hardest things that you could possibly have to experience. And so in a beautiful way, I have this appreciation. Like I had this conversation very, very early on in my journey through divorce with my Grammarly. She's 99 years old. She has, as a single mom to five, she's married two husbands, lost a son to cancer, a grandson by suicide. Like, she has been through it all. And I got a phone call from her very early on in this journey. And she called just to ask how I was doing. And I said, I'm both. I'm both grieving and hopeful. I'm both sad and optimistic for the possibility of what comes next. I'm both, discouraged by what happens in real time, but hopeful that I can turn what is happening into something great. And she said something that was just so simple and meaningful that only comes out of the experience that exists as someone who's seen everything and been through everything. And she said, hey, I have myself at 99 years old been through so many hard times. And what I can tell you for sure is that I didn't enjoy experiencing the hardship that existed in those hard times, but also every single hard thing I've been through, I am now on the other side of. And Dave, you're going to be on the other side of this hard thing as well. And as much as you might not experience happiness in the midst of that process, you'll get to the other side. And when you do, you'll be better equipped to handle whatever hardship shows up next. And I wish, man, that my quota for hardship was satisfied because of having gone through a hard year in 2020. But the reality is, I am likely to, as anyone who's listening is likely to, experience more hard things in my life. But what I have now is a set of evidence that suggests that the hard things that I've experienced were actually for me. And that the next time I experience something that's hard, maybe I can experience them with something of a heart of gratitude for what might become, as opposed to being sad about or bemoaning the fact that they exist in the first place.
Right. I mean, this year I've experienced some of the hardest things. I had 10 surgeries, two leg amputations. I mean, it was crazy. And it was harder than what I went through 20 years ago when I lost my legs in the first place. I don't know if it was because I was younger and I just kind of was more resilient and more naive and just thought, things will figure themselves out. And this time it was really, really hard. And, you know, it's so nice to be able to go back, though, and say, I went through what I thought was the worst thing of my life. And not only did I get through it, but I was able to thrive on the other side. So now you can take that faith that you can do it again. Like, if you've done it before, you can do it again. That's what builds resilience. And I think that if you already just kind of make up the decision that you believe that God or the universe has your best interest and favor, then no matter what comes your way, you know that you're going to grow through it.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, faith is a big conversation in the midst of hard times. What's interesting for me, I'm a person who has had faith and been a believer in a religion. Whether you believe in what I believe in or not, doesn't matter. I'm interested in at least exploring what for me was this idea of faith, in that faith that's not tested isn't really faith. As it turns out for me, right? Like, I thought I had faith, and then I found myself tested in a way that I hadn't previously been. And I got to really do an exploration into what it means to be a believer in that faith. And as it turned out for me, right, I was in so many ways forced to my knees in a way that kept me on my knees in a conversation with God, who every once in a while had to listen to me yell and scream about what I believed to be unfairness in some situations that were happening. And it turns out, spoiler alert, God can handle our frustration and our anger because he's big enough to handle it. Like, I've very often related the experience of divorce to the tunnel that exists at the Shawshank prison, where you are crawling hand and knee through crap. And what I needed at the beginning of my journey in some ways was this conceit, this belief that the things that I needed would show up as I needed them, even though I couldn't see evidence of them. I didn't yet have the promise of that sequence at the end of the tunnel where there he is in the middle of the water, rain falling down, experiencing the freedom of having released himself from the tunnel. And so I just had that conceit, that belief. And what's wild is when you believe it, you start looking for it every single day. And what you look for, you end up finding. And so I just, every single day in the midst of the hardest time of my life, found evidence of the thing I was looking for in a way that allowed me to create some momentum and inertia that just kept me moving forward.
And didn't you just get a new tattoo? Did you get a tattoo with like a ship that's lost at sea?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It makes me think of it. So you posted something about that not long ago. And it makes me think of last year when I was getting my leg amputated for the second time in my life, which is so crazy. And my legs had taken me so far in my life. I knew exactly what I could do on them. I knew exactly how my prosthetics fit, that I could snowboard all day. But now I was losing that because I was losing my leg and I didn't know if my prosthetic would fit the same or if I'd be able to do the same thing. And I remember feeling like I am a ship floating at sea with no view of land anywhere. And I have no idea where I'm showing up. But in that space is almost like that's where the possibilities are, because you could show up on a land that you never expected, that could be the best place that you ever, you know, show up to, but you never could have expected it or planned it. So then you posted that you got this tattoo about the ship that's lost from the harbor. You can explain it better than me, but I mean, it like confirmed in what I was feeling that this is something that a lot of us feel.
Yeah. I mean, there's two things here. So like a song that I was so connected to in my journey came from Ben Rector. It's a song called Sailboat. And it's a song about being a boat that is out at sea waiting for the wind to blow him home or her home. And I felt so often like this boat that was just there, sail up, where's the wind? I want so badly to be blown back to something that feels normal, that feels comfortable, that feels like I used to feel before my world was turned upside down. And I think a lot of us feel that feeling. But the tattoo you refer to, I have this quote from John Shedd on my arm. It says, a ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. And I got it in so many ways as a reminder on the days when I start to doubt myself or question if I have the capacity to handle what happens outside of my comfort zone. Hey, Dave, you were built for this. And you as a listener, I want to tell you in real time that you were given these gifts. You believe the things you believe and think the things you do and have had the experiences that you have that are in some ways making you this unique one-of-one limited edition version on this planet. And part of what comes in acknowledging that we have each been given these unique set of gifts is a mandate to ask, why were we given what we've been given? Why have we gone through what we've gone through? And for me, it's begged this question. A big part of what the book ends up being about is this question of, I think our creator put us here for a reason. I think that you, Amy, have gone through exactly what you've gone through for a very, very specific reason. I think I've been given the gifts and gone through what I've gone through for a very specific reason. And what we have as a responsibility in each of our individuality is to ask, how might I honor the intention of a creator who put us through what we've gone through, who's given us the skills and gifts that we've been given so that we can bring them to bear in a way that honors that intention? It definitely requires courage, because so often the things that we've been given or the way that we can show up best for ourselves requires that we deviate from who we've historically been, who we've been for ourselves, right? Becoming uncomfortable in new spaces, but also challenging the way that other people have become comfortable with the way that we've shown up in their life as we now step into and walk closer to a purpose that our life has been called for. And inevitably, as you do that, there's likely to be someone in your life who's just become so comfortable with how you've historically shown up that will be made uncomfortable as you decide to start showing up as your true authentic self. That takes courage.
How did you find the courage and the inspiration? So this whole season is about living inspired. How did you find the inspiration and the courage to write a book, to do everything you're doing when you were going through probably one of the most like uninspiring times of your life?
What's wild is, in a weird way, and this might not even make sense, but my book deadline was a gift. There was like catharsis in having a thing that I had to try and deliver against in the midst of the most unpredictable and unexpected time of my life. I argue that there are two kinds of change. Change is a constant. You will, as a human, just experience change over and over in your life. But there is change that you choose. I'd been someone who worked inside of corporate America for a long period of time. I was the head of sales at Disney, decided to leave that. I chose that change to pursue entrepreneurship. But I ultimately also had my relationship end. This like pillar of who I'd been, husband to Rachel, was something that chose me, right? Like, I didn't want my marriage to end. It ended, and I now had to experience the repercussion of something changing in my life that I didn't choose. But whether change chooses you or you choose change, there is inevitably something that you have to do in response to that change. And for all of us, I think there's an opportunity to ask, how might I, in this change, rise to the occasion? How might I think differently about who I've been now that I'm going to be someone that's different in who I'm becoming? And, you know, like my experience, as much as, again, I wish things had gone differently, I realize now that my wish was in contradiction to a thing that I was meant for, because so much good has come from not getting my way, not having the things that I'd hoped for show up in my life. And so in some ways, there's a conversation that has to happen about release or surrender to how you might make the most of what ends up showing up, even if it ends up being something that's disconnected from the things you might hope for.
I'm going to be right back with Dave, but first, did you guys see? Oh my gosh. So, okay. I'm so excited because my Live Inspired jewelry collection has launched this week with Tiny Tags. And just so that you guys know, 20% of the proceeds are going to Adaptive Action Sports, the charity that I run with my husband, where we train athletes with disabilities. And this is only for the next 2 weeks. So if you're thinking about purchasing a piece, now is the time to do it, because you can get a gift for a loved one or yourself, and you can help a good cause at the same time. We created this incredible arrow to represent resilience. The tag necklace says Live Inspired. I've had the most amazing response and stories from those of you who have already purchased it, sharing that you bought a necklace for a friend that has breast cancer, or someone else bought a necklace for a friend whose husband recently got paralyzed, or, you know, just somebody that you love, or even for yourself, just as a reminder to live an inspired life. So make sure, if you're going to purchase, that you do it before December 15th. That's when holiday shipping ends. So if you want to check the collection out, you can do it in three ways. You can check the show notes of this episode. There will be a link right there. You can also go to my Instagram page and click the link in my bio, or you can go straight to the Tiny Tags website, tinytags.com, tinytags.com, and you can look up the Live Inspired collection. I always say, you know, there's the change that you choose, like to be an athlete or write a book or be a thought leader, whatever it may be. And then there's the change that chooses you, like a global pandemic or an injury. And we always have the choice whether we're going to let those changes break us down, or we're going to use them to build us up so we can become stronger than we ever were before. So over the last year, having all these surgeries, like all the challenges that I've faced, it put me very much so in survival mode, which can be good, a very good thing. It makes you present. You can only kind of think about today. But where I struggled was I could not get inspired because I was so dealing with something so real. You know, I was dealing with pain and I might have another surgery next week, and that I couldn't feel inspired. I mean, I did not feel inspired once. I had one experience that I did, but the majority of the last 2 years, I didn't feel that feeling of inspiration that I always felt that kept me going. And so for you and everything that you've dealt with this year, like, what did you do, or how did you find that feeling of excitement, that momentum that pushes you through being able to write a book?
Oh, such a good question. Okay, so like, what's interesting is I started writing the book in March of 2020. I had a conversation about divorce in May. Okay, so I start writing the book before I'm introduced to something that actually really fuels some of the emotion that you find in the book. But the outline for the book, the conceit of the book, it was set prior to this crazy event of my life taking place. One of the first things that I wrote, one of the very, very first things that I wrote was, in this rush to return to normal, let's use this time to consider which parts of normal are worth rushing back to, which feels bizarrely prophetic in that in March, I wrote this thing about normal and what normal ought to be when my sense of normalcy was completely upended 2 months later. And my definition of how to return to normal was something I had to work through now that my previous definition of normal was no longer possible. So, like, first and foremost, gosh, it was such a beautiful experience to try and get through it. But one of the first casualties of my, as a result of my divorce, was my imagination, right? I had been someone who forever and ever had an ability to cast a vision of who I'd hope to be 5 years from now. Like, Dave, who are you going to be 5 years from now? And I could, like, tell you in a way that played like a movie in my head, exactly who I was going to be, what it was going to feel like, and the kind of things that it would take to get from where I was to where I wanted to go. In the aftermath of divorce, where these circumstances that I could not have foreseen now presented themselves, I had no imagination for the future. And so the first thing I had to do was wildly reduce the window that I was forecasting a future for. So I started asking a question. Hey, Dave, what do you need in this season to get 90 days in the future closer to who you'd hope to be over time? And I asked that 90 days question against the backdrop of five dimensions of health. What do you need in the season for your emotional, your mental, relational, spiritual, and physical health? And I asked that question hoping that if I could have two or three answers for each of those dimensions, that it might inform my daily routine, the way that I had a certain set of habits, the way that I addressed my coping mechanisms, the way that I thought about my calendar or the people I surround myself with or the things I consume online or whatever it might be. And I asked the question every 30 days because I just had to go contextually, the things I'm experiencing today at the beginning of this journey are different than how I might feel 30 days into this journey, or different than 30 more days into this journey. And by just incrementally taking it in parts, it was so informative of really specifically serving what I needed to continue to build some momentum and build that inertia that would keep me moving and create some momentum for moving forward. Because at the beginning, like anyone who like has something happen that they do not see coming and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, how do I get through this tunnel? You have to find a way to really reduce the way you think about like eating the elephant one bite at a time. Like I had to really focus on like, what's the one bite at a time version of how I get through this thing? Because I couldn't see the end of the tunnel. I could only see the next two or three steps that I needed to take.
You know, it's so interesting because our stories are quite different, yet I find that our kind of solutions and the way that we get through things is very similar.
Yeah.
So you just talked about the five things, like what can I do with these five things in my life just to take a step forward. And I did the same thing. Maybe 6 months ago, I had one of the biggest surgeries that I've had, and it failed dramatically. My entire femoral artery shut down. I have no native arteries down my left leg anymore. It's so crazy. And it was terrifying because I thought, gosh, all these surgeries, now I'm just going to lose my legs. So what was it all for? And so I was going through so much. And physically, I was going through so much. Obviously, emotionally, I was going through so much. But then I look in the mirror and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't eaten and I'm thin and I'm not taking care of myself. And then, you know, Daniel and I would argue, and it felt like everything was out of my control. And so I was sitting on the airplane. That's where I get my most inspired. And it just came to me like, okay, well, what can I do? And what do I need to fix right now? What will make me feel better? Yeah. And I wrote down 5 different things. I made it like the spokes of a wheel. Like if any of those things are out of balance, the wheel is going to be out of balance. So I wrote 5 different spokes and I was like, one is relationships. What am I doing to help my relationships? One is, what am I doing to eat better? You know, another one was, what am I doing physically to work out? So I wrote the 5 most important things of my life, like the pillars of my life. And I realized I could do something in there in each one of those slots that will put it more back into balance. And the thing that was amazing is you can take action when you make it small, like not these huge goals, right? You can take small action and it makes such a big difference. And all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel good again. I actually feel confident and in control because it's not getting away from me. I can see my way through this. And I do the same thing every 30 days. I kind of plan what little bites I can take.
Yeah. There was something for me in having so much of what I thought would happen in my life now not be a possibility for my life, giving me something of freedom. There's a quote that I use in the book, once you lose everything, you're free to do anything. It's a Tyler Durden quote from Fight Club. I'm sure everyone quotes Fight Club, but there was something in freedom that came in recognizing, oh, wow, all the things I thought I could control historically are outside of my control. And now that I can recognize that control was always an illusion, I'm now free to think differently about how I might approach the future because it was not in my control in my past. And so as much as that conversation around divorce felt in many ways like a blank piece of paper being handed to me, and I wish that it was equal parts exhilarating and terrifying, like, oh, you get to now write out whatever your future looks like, be excited about it. At the beginning, it was wildly more terrifying than it was exhilarating. But over time, I was able to, in identifying, oh, these are the things that I can actually control. These are the things that I can actually will into being part of my future that came out of the ashes of what was, that now turned this thing that was terrifying into something that ended up becoming exhilarating because of the control that came in the release of what had been.
Right. I want to do a quick fire.
Here we
questions,
go.
A couple of quick questions for you that I do with all of my guests. And so what's the last little thing that inspired you?
Well, I am in real time. I'm working in a fitness challenge that I would not have seen myself working in, to be totally honest. I am in a relationship with a human named Heidi, Heidi Powell. She is amazing in so many ways, but we are doing a challenge with a community of people that are for 60 days trying to get fit. And there's something really amazing that's happening in that I had a bunch of stories around what was possible for me in my own fitness journey. And I met this person who saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And she, early on in us dating, said something about musculature, a word that I still do not actually understand the definition of, but I'm going to go with it. And she said, something to the effect of like, man, if you were to push yourself in weightlifting, you'd be shocked at what could be possible because of your musculature. And the only thing I can relate it to is when I was in like second or third grade, I got a letter from the administrators of my elementary school letting me know that I was being welcomed into the gifted and talented program, right? They had acknowledged that I was smart. And in a third party telling me that I was smart and sending me this letter, it was the first time that I acknowledged it and believed it about myself. And once I believed that I was smart, I started acting like I was smart. And so in this fitness analogy, I have someone who is a professional inside of the fitness space that I happen to be in a relationship with, who acknowledged something about me that I didn't see in myself, that contradicted every story I'd ever told myself about my ability to be fit, that was like that letter from my administrator in third grade. And I have, as a result, become the most ridiculously fit that I have ever been because of now borrowing some of that belief from someone else. And so I am inspired by people who can inspire me. Hopefully in a way that doesn't feel codependent, but like, man, it's such an important thing to surround yourself by people that will remind you of how they see you, especially when it's contradictory to how you see yourself.
Gosh, I mean, yes, you said so many good things in there, like, and just the belief, like the power of belief. And here you could believe something about yourself your entire life, and all it takes is somebody else who you believe in to tell you they believe in you. And all of a sudden, oh, you can do it. It's
wild.
Really, that is really cool.
You know what's crazy? I had this opportunity recently to sit with a group of authors. We just like got together in what like was kind of like a mastermind kind of setting. And we went around the room to talk about like when we each believed that we were worthy of writing. And so many people in this, like it was like 12 of us in this room, like to a person, there was someone who at one point said, "You're a great writer." And they adopted that as a belief of their own because of a third party affirming it. And what we don't realize, and whoever you are, listener, I want you to hear this, your words have power. So if you see something in someone else, if you see someone's gift on display, please use your words to affirm that gift as a thing that you recognize. It may in fact be the difference between that person that you're witnessing believing in it themselves or not. It just takes one person to say, man, I think you're a great whatever it is. And all of a sudden you believe it.
Right. I mean, and I would say that's why I wrote my book, is people said you should write a book.
Right?
And I go, okay, I guess if they would read it, then I should write a book.
That's right.
Okay, so last question. What song do you turn on when you want to feel inspired, or what song when it's on makes you feel inspired?
Oh my goodness. I mean, it's so dependent on the mood that I am in. I mean, like I have really been indulging in something I call my patio of peace in real time. I have not appreciated the importance of turning the volume of the world down as much as I have in this season of chaos. And so sitting on my back patio and intentionally commandeering peace has been really, really important so that I can hear very clearly the like voice in myself and disassociate myself from the craziness, the fear, the whatever it might be that exists. When I'm on that patio of peace, Ben Rector for me has been like an unbelievable song master. There's a song called Peace that he has that reminds us to find like that peace is found where we make it, which I just love that idea. I mean, Sailboat I referred to already. But when I am like in the gym, it's a completely different kind of music that is necessary to get me going. I mean, like Trick Daddy's Let's Go. I mean, like, is it like on the wildly opposite end of a spectrum from Ben Rector's piece. And yet that's the thing when I'm getting ready to go on a 10-mile run that I need to listen to get me running in those shoes. So I think I would just say it's so dependent on what mood I'm looking for, but music has been so connected to my journey of both healing and inspiring me to keep going. So I love music.
Well, Dave, I love this conversation that we had today. You're so wise, and you speak so well. That's one thing I'm inspired by there's so much that I want to learn from you.
You're so sweet, Amy. Thank you.
You guys, I love that conversation so much. This is why I wanted to do the podcast. I wanted to have great conversations. I wanted to be able to share these conversations with all of you. Make sure to check out Dave's book, Built Through Courage. You can find it everywhere. It's amazing. It's out now. And I would love to hear your favorite part of this episode. If there's something that you're really taking away, if you had a light bulb, aha moment, please share it with me. If you screen capture this episode on your phone and you share it on social media, on your Instagram stories, and you let me know what your favorite part was, I will make sure to reshare it. Thank you guys so much for listening to another episode of Bouncing Forward. I love you. I love your feedback. Let me know your thoughts on this season. If you're liking it, I absolutely love to hear from you. If this episode inspired you, please make sure to share with someone else or on your social media. And also make sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. Thank you for listening to Bouncing Forward.